Wargaming for Leaders: Strategic Decision Making from Behind the Battlefield to the Boardroom. Authors Mark L. Herman and Mark D. Frost. Wargaming is essentially an anticipative tool going back millennia with one major objective: to anticipate outcomes of battles to come. Today, however, modern wargaming has grown sophisticated such that incomplete information becomes a reality decision makers are compelled to deal with. A successful wargame requires two conditions. First, we and our client must work out together a clear objective. And second, a wargame must involve key players and competing interests based on arguments, for example, over strategic or tactical plans, data, or institutional culture. Designing a wargame is a complex process. Phases of a wargame involve coordinated planning, in-depth research, customized design, and long preparation. Most wargames involve no more than three moves, which have proved most efficient because the client's time is saved and players have enough time to play and conceptualize a way out. Wargames for Business. In early 1987, one of our partners suggested a wargame for Florida Power and Light Company, a subsidiary of Miami-based FPL Group. FPL had unsettling worries including partial deregulation and stealing electricity by some members of Cuban exile community who got accidentally electrocuted. FPL team suggests buying inexpensive coal in South America and sending coal to Bahamas, where FPL would build a huge coal-fired plant to generate electricity that would be transmitted by an under-ocean cable to Florida. However, by announcing plans, general public team organized campaigns focusing on environmental risks posed by FPL projects. The general public's team response switched regulators' team, previously inclined to approve FPL's project via a lobbying firm, to permission denial. One important takeaway of the FPL wargame is the FPL handling of media and enhancing a positive public image amid Cuban community. Competitive strategy. In early 1990, we were contacted by an aerospace and defense company in order to make a wargame of the company's avionics unit competitive strategy. At that time, aerospace and defense companies started to pay attention to commercial aviation after USSR collapse and demand from military clients had diminished. Our wargame objectives included better understanding of shifts in civil avionics industry and clearer perspectives on strategies, including new innovations. The head of avionics at our client's company thought a partnership with a Russian company offering first-class avionics would appeal to top-tier companies in air transportation. And all moves in our wargame, partnership with a Russian company, was adamantly rebuffed by top-tier airlines. But one of our client's team approached a second-tier airline and smaller OEMs, our client was able to cut contracts and increase market penetrability. Choosing in action. In the late 1980s and early 1990s, cellular communications was a privilege for high-end users and businesses. Anticipating change in potential auctions by the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC, US West Communications approached Booz Allen Hamilton for a wargame on emerging cell phone wireless technology. Our wargame objectives included better understanding of the competition as market for cellular services broadened and deepened, better understanding of competition strategies, best strategic directions that gave competitive edges in years ahead. Takeaways: prices were going to come down sharply for both the wireless phone itself and for the service. Bundling that included entertainment and other services, not just minutes, was going to arrive in a vengeance. National networks would have to be the wave of the future. Brand loyalty was going to be essential. And overcapacity would be an inevitable consequence of the explosive growth. Today, we all see how cellular services have exploded and expanded, most of our findings proving persistent. Don't fight the scenario, the plus side. We insist again that wargames do not predict future, only provide insights and plausible scenarios which many may or may not materialize in the real world. Our wargames on mergers is a case in point. A merge that happened. FMC, a big defense company, thought a merge with the General Dynamics Land Systems Division was a perfect marriage. We were called for a war game in order to test potential merge. Contrary to the FMC's proposed merger, by end of move 2, FMC and BMY partnered together, Thomas Redbourn, the head of the FMC Defence Systems Group, could not see the FMC-BMY merger and insisted that FMC-GD was more likely. We played our game four times and in each time the FMC-BMY merger came out. It turned out that FMC and GD production lines were completely different, while the BMY and the FMC production lines were similar. In reality, FMC Defence Systems Group merged with Harrisco and a new company, United Defence LP, headquartered in New York, and combined defence businesses in both companies. Global Crisis War Games, the impact of 9/11. Though we never openly shared war games, after 9/11 we started to make findings available to interested stakeholders. Moreover, contrary to our military and business war games, our global crisis management war games involve no competition, but a stress on leadership and cooperation. Our first global crisis war game simulated a bioterrorist attack in response to the anthrax attacks in September 2001. The game objective was to upgrade US readiness for a bioterrorism attack. Our opening move involved a spread of aerosolized pneumatic plague and unidentified persons. The treatable pneumatic plague could be lethal for a few days after infection. Our participants were instructed that the first move starts 3 days after the pneumatic plague attack. Participants seemed paralysed and not able to respond by a growing threat. All participants feared that an uncalculated step might lead to disasters. Participants were alerted a war game and it's intended to simulate a future, a much better mistake in an imagined world than in a real one. As game proceeded, participants came to realise government-business effort coordination is a must, and too much hesitance is just dead wrong. Tsunami Mega Community. Indonesia, India, Sri Lanka, Thailand and Tanzania were plagued by the tsunami. After 6 months of the tsunami, agencies and organisations charged with coordinating donations got overwhelmed with only one third of aid had been dispersed. We were designed a war game in order to explore ways to enhance coordination of disaster relief and recovery. Takeaways: only host government in titles should assume leadership in positions in disaster relief. Donors should coordinate efforts and understand each other's positions and motives. Assistants should support, not dictate, local needs. Do not misguide donors into a belief that relief work progress is well when it's not. The Persian Gulf, our wargame objectives included. Exposing shifting funding priorities in a new post-Iraq strategic environment. Exploring mega organisational changes that might occur. Examining how non-traditional warfare missions combine with traditional warfare missions of military service. Rethinking of intelligence community. The war game consisted of five competing teams: US Army, US Navy Marines, US Air Force, Intelligence Community and Department of Homeland Security. Our control team served as President, Secretary of Defense and Advisors. As players proceeded in one move, each team introduced a range of suggestions and problems that each would face in a new world of asymmetric warfare. Move 2. Our control provided a series of tectonic injects. US forces remain in Iraq, but as a much downsized structure. Iraq functions as a weak central government. India prepares for the worst, Al-Qaeda's control of Pakistan's nuclear arsenal. Iran develops long-range ballistic missiles. Colombian terrorists block operations in the Panama Canal. In Africa, Libya slips into civil war after Gaddafi's death. Somali pirates continues to pose serious threats to trade and shipping interests. And southern Egypt, filling up with Sudanese fleeing unrest at home. All participants agreed a review of the overall national security architecture was a must in order to assure effective strategies for both conventional and non-conventional warfare.